You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
You are tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. I'm joined on the phone now by Labour leader Andrew Little. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Awesome. So I guess I'll just start off today by asking, what are your thoughts on the bilateral trade deal the government is hoping to achieve in light of Trump's rejection of the TPP?
I think it's a pretty dim prospect with the US anytime soon. I think this has been talked about for many, many years, and the way to get the US into a trade deal was actually through the TPPA, however flawed that might have been. That's been rejected now. I think the reality is for New Zealand too, it's a bit like also the prospect of trade deals anytime soon with Europe and the UK, is that we are a tiny wee country, certainly more distant from Europe and the UK than we are from the US, but we won't be kind of first cab off the rank. While it's a good idea in principle, we want to try and reduce trade barriers for our exporters. The reality is the US has been a highly protectionist economy for a long, long time, and that's no hurry. So I just think, we shouldn't, let's just sort of not kind of rush into this and not think it's going to happen anytime soon, because there's a heap of work to do before we get anywhere near it.
Do you think a trade deal with the United States and New Zealand is actually realistic?
Well, one day, sometime soon. If you think about, for us, what's the thing that we trade in most is primary production. It's dairy, it's beef and so on. We've got a pretty well-established market with the US, even with tariffs and trade regulations on it already. Nice for those things to come off, but they're not going to come off right now. And certainly our wine industry, the US is a huge export market for them, but they're subject to tariffs at the moment. But there's not a great deal else that we're sending that way, and we're a big importer of US products, obviously, too. So the trade relationship is strong at the moment under its current conditions. Removing what remains of various trade tariffs will make a bit of difference. I'm not sure it's going to necessarily lower prices, certainly this side of the Pacific. And I just don't think... So in terms of the US, what is there in it for them? Well, not a great deal. They are hugely protectionist when it comes to their food production industry, so they're in no hurry to give us concessions right now.
Definitely. If the Labour-Green coalition comes into power later this year, do you think your government will deal differently with Trump?
Well, I think the relationship between the two countries is between the two countries. It's not, I don't think we should base it on the particular personalities in place at the time. He might not be a particularly pleasant character, at least as a public persona. And he's clearly got a view which is, I think, anti-progressive. It's sort of taking things back. Not a person that I'd be in any hurry to kind of get alongside and be mates with. But I do want us to have a good, strong relationship with the US. So it's about, managing all those dimensions of the relationship and understanding it is not just about who's in the Oval Office at any one time, nor for that matter, who's in the beehive.
Definitely. And so the government has raised the minimum wage recently. Do you think this is a meaningful increase?
No. It's the classic thing. 5/8 of not very much is still 5/8 of not very much. So increasing the minimum wage at a time when the real cost of living, particularly the cost of rentals, and housing costs and that, are going up dramatically, isn't going to make a huge deal of difference. And it really kind of underscores the bigger problem we've got, which is low wages generally for far too many New Zealanders. So that's, I'd rather see the government spending its time or talking to the rest of New Zealand about how it's going to lift wages. We know from the government's official figures that roughly 50% of wage and salary earners, their incomes are struggling to keep pace with the real cost of living. So, of course, they're going backwards. And it's not making a big deal of difference. We have major problems with productivity, with per capita GDP growth, because it's not stuff this government's interested in. And that's what has to change, what has to be fixed up if we're going to lift wages. And we've got to give unions better rules for bargaining and better protections for workers who want to belong to unions, so they find it easier to negotiate good pay rises and have those rises and their rights protected.
Are all those things the Labour government would consider implementing if it was in power?
Yeah, very much so. We want to, our kind of economic about where the economy has to go is we've got to move away from this, you know, just what we've been doing for decades and decades and decades, which is a big focus on primary production. Yep, that's going to be a core part of our economy for a long time, but we've got to find those, you know, the new industries, the new businesses, find investment for them and the entrepreneurs who are going to lead that up and provide opportunities for them, as well as, you know, doing the things we expect of our taxes, invest in education, not just primary and secondary, but tertiary as well, so people can, you know, get good skills right throughout their working life. All those things go with, you know, lifting the value of what we do and give New Zealanders a better chance when they're in the workforce of getting, you know, decent pay and decent pay rises from one year to the next.
Just going off there, what is Labor's take on the living wage? Would you ever consider implementing this?
We wouldn't legislate for it. The living wage campaign has been, its strength has been that it is, you know, it's about putting pressure on employers to do that. And I meet plenty of employers who are horrified at the level of the minimum wage. I came up to an airport last year, business owner in the manufacturing business. He said, look, the minimum rate of pay in his business is $21 an hour. He said, that's what somebody coming off the street into an entry-level job would get. He's horrified at the level of the minimum wage. I think there's a growing kind of climate about that. But I think there's a few sort of building blocks we need to get in place to really put that upward pressure on wages before I'd say let's legislate for the minimum the living wage.
Yeah, definitely, because I guess you have to consider its potential impact on job growth, since the employers are fronting the increase, not the government. And just lastly, is there anything you can tell me about the cross-party address that's happening on Sunday?
It's a joint event, Labor and the Greens. We're both giving our respective sort of State of the Nation speeches, but it's about sort of indicating that as we signed up to last year with our memorandum of understanding, that we are two parties that have common ground, that we're working together, and we have signed up to a common objective, which is to change the government in this year's general election. That's what that's about. But, you know, we're still MEP, we're still two separate parties with our own identities. We're still, you know, each campaigning for the biggest share of the party vote that we can get, but we are two parties who have good relations, can work together, have plenty of common ground.
Lovely. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for speaking with me today, Andrew, and we'll talk to you next week.
Indeed.
Thank you. Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.